Traditionally, in the banking industry, depositors with large balances subsidize services for those with small balances. But as traditional sources of income are pinched, so are those internal subsidies. Bankers increasingly view charges like teller fees as a way either to cover their costs or discourage customers from using more expensive services. The heavily criticized teller fee has a bottom-line logic. Teller visits are comparatively expensive, about 4 times the cost of an ATM transaction. As the industry adapts, Tom Bengtson, publisher of Minneapolis-based Northwestern Financial Review, says banks are designing their checking accounts with a wider array of fee structures.
Some products really steer you more in the electronic area. For example, they want you to use their ATMs. They want you to use their phone banking. They want you to use their internet banking. Others are more focused on the personal service. They want you to come into the lobby. They want you to come and talk to their teller. They see that as a cross-sell opportunity.
The result is an exploding variety of accounts that demands even more of a consumer trying to choose a bank. Minnesota Public Radio's analysis of non-interest checking accounts offered by the state's largest banks found the cost of basic banking functions can vary widely depending on the account. A First Bank account was the most expensive at $186 a year. A FirstStar account was least expensive, virtually free, if the customer is willing and able to do direct payroll deposit or bank via personal computer. The analysis was based on a customer who bounces no checks and whose check writing, teller, and ATM use followed national averages. Reducing the number of checks, teller visits, and so-called foreign ATM transactions lowered the cost of many accounts. Virginia McGuire of the American Bankers Association says the days of the one-size-fits-all checking account are gone.
Now it's a more pay-as-you-go system. And is a more, if you will, an a la carte system where you can choose exactly what you want and pay for exactly what you're using. It's in many ways more fair than it used to be because I'm not paying for what someone else is using and they're not paying for what I'm using. But that also means that the consumers have to be much more aggressive in making sure that they're in the kind of account that reflects how they're using it, that they have done some comparison shopping, and that they are actively managing that banking relationship.
Consultant Jack Whittle makes the point more bluntly.
Don't go to the financial institution and scream and holler that you're jipping to me. You might as well walk in with a sign around your neck that says, I'm dumb and stupid, and I didn't read.
But banks don't necessarily make it easy to find out about all fee-related policies, and in some cases don't even publish policies that can be highly costly. The recent U.S. Public Interest Research Group study says many fee brochures are incomplete or confusing and make it difficult to compare banks. It says rising fees and an increasingly complex array of charges have created a banking system that is burdensome and unfriendly to the consumer. Jack Whittle is one of the strategists who has helped banks sneak new fees past the consumer. For example, he has urged bankers to launch new annual charges on the August or December statements because they typically go unopened.
And there's always the old adage they teach you in Marketing 101. If you're going to communicate to the customer a bad thing, you want as many possible people not reading the bad thing, just living with it.
Whittle now espouses what he calls upfront communication. But he says customers who are just living with fees are better for the bottom line.
Most financial institutions historically make money on the apathy of the customer. I don't care. I don't want to do it. I don't balance my checking account. So I'm overdrawn. You charge me some money. I'll pay it, et cetera, and so on.
Whittle says banks can't count on consumer apathy any longer, but to varying degrees, banks still follow the old Marketing 101 adage. They typically list only a small portion of their service charges in the glossy promotional brochures displayed in bank lobbies. To find the bounce check fee or other charges that may be especially high, one usually has to read the less user-friendly disclosure forms. They're often kept out of sight in bank lobbies. When requested, branch employees, both at First Bank and FirstStar, provided the wrong brochure, and at TCF, an employee had to leave the lobby to get one, returning with one that was out of date. NPR encountered several instances in which bank representatives even gave incorrect information about fees and related policies. At this TCF Cub Foods branch, the teller quickly found a fee schedule. One of the most detailed items in the brochure is the bounce check fee. The brochure says the fee for each bounce check is $23, regardless of whether TCF pays the check or returns it unpaid. Asked about the policy, the teller gives incorrect information.
It's either the 23 if we pay it, or the 6 if we don't.
Not only is that wrong, it makes the policy seem far more lenient than it actually is. TCF officials say the error was probably a fluke, a mistake by a new employee. Whether it was a fluke for TCF, it was not unique in NPR's research. The most glaring example occurred at First Bank, where 5 calls to telephone bankers resulted in 5 different answers to the same question. We asked about the maximum number of times the bank charges a bounce check fee if several checks bounce on a given day. The answers ranged from 5 to there is no limit. Even though the policy can be highly expensive for customers, neither First Bank nor TCF publishes the limit in their fee brochures.
I looked through the information that we got from the bank in 1991 when we opened the account, and there's nothing stated about how often they would charge that.
Shireen Connors found out about TCF's policy the expensive way. TCF will charge customers the $23 bounce check fee up to 5 times a day. Norwest and First Star stop at 4 and say so in fee schedules. Connors and her husband had to pay TCF's daily maximum, $115, 2 days in a row. Connors says she normally keeps close track of the checking account, but they neglected to record 2 automatic loan payments in their check ledger and left town for a few days, causing a slew of checks to bounce. Connors says she was shocked to return home to a letter notifying them of the first $115 in fees.
They had to have made a mistake. You know, I was just outraged that they could be charging us this much money, and how could this be happening? And, you know, and then when we opened the second envelope and, you know, there was another $115 more, it was, you know, just that much more worse. So, you know, I was pretty shocked, I guess, that it had happened, period, and that it was so much money.
Penalty fees from merchants brought the total to $290, and even though the Connors had taken out a mortgage and a loan from TCF, the bank refused to waive a single fee. Shock has given way to anger.
You know, I look at how much we ended up paying for certain things, and it just kills me. It just, oh, it burns me. And it was $290 just wasted.
TCF Vice Chairman Bob Evans says anyone who criticizes the decision not to publish the bank's limit on bounce check fees is nitpicking. And by comparison with First Bank, he may have a point. First Bank's unpublished policy allows a daily maximum of $252 in bounce check fees, more than double TCF's limit and triple Norwest's. Though other banks publish their maximum, First Bank officials say the policy has not been a source of customer concern, and they don't want to clutter the fee disclosure brochure with information that's not required by federal regulations. Bankers argue consumers generally are not concerned about bounce check fees when selecting a bank because they don't plan to bounce checks. The available research, say bankers, indicates consumers care far more about convenience than fees. But if convenience catches customers, consultant Richard Foster argues high fees can drive them away.
One of the principal reasons that customers leave banks and change banks are that the banks are charging very high fees and they don't like them. There are 2 aspects of that. Customers aren't used to any fees at all. But secondly, the customers do have a point when they say that banks are charging very, very high fees. As a matter of fact, this is one of the reasons that customers give when they use credit unions.
Foster says consumers are willing to pay a reasonable charge for useful services, and he says it makes sense for banks to rely more heavily on service charges given the competition they face. But Foster says consumer anger over excessive fees may fuel a backlash that promotes more of the government regulation bankers gripe about.
I'm worried that Congress or state legislatures, seeing these inequities, will take away from the banks the right to price their own services. And the banks should listen carefully to the kind of program that you're going to put on. This is a matter of serious concern. Customers do not like it.
Later this year, Minnesota lawmakers are expected to hold hearings on the sort of legislation Foster fears. One proposal would force banks to submit all checking account charges to the State Commerce Commissioner for approval. It's not clear the legislation has much of a chance, nor is it clear that banks have lost much business due to anger over fees specifically. But annual polls by American Banker newspaper indicate bank customers are defecting to mutual funds, credit unions, and savings and loans. Last year, for the first time, fewer than half of those surveyed said a bank is their primary financial institution, down from a solid majority just 2 years before. Since then, a Washington, D.C. consulting firm reported credit unions, which tend to be less costly than banks, saw record growth in new checking accounts earlier this year. As banks increase the number and cost of service charges, they create more opportunities to anger customers with unexpected fees. Banks that have found customer apathy to be profitable may be feeling burned by it now. First Bank did not try to hide the account changes it made last year. It notified customers well in advance. Jolene Mason acknowledges she probably ignored the notice. But $150 in fees later, that doesn't matter much.
That's been a fault of mine, not thoroughly looking at my statements. But you look at your statements and you see, my God, I paid $11 just to write my own checks, take money out of my own account. It makes you sick is what it does. It makes me sick. This just confirms to me that I don't feel like I can trust keeping my money in a bank anymore.
Mason's sense of betrayal and resentment may represent a growing backlash against bank fees. Even a telephone banker at one of the state's largest banks couldn't hold back her own opinion that fees are getting excessive, saying, "We don't need any more service fees. We can't even afford to write a check anymore." I'm Bill Catlin, Minnesota Public Radio.